Well, on Thursday, had an opportunity of being there when Eleonora was in the final minutes of her life, and actually when she took her last breath. And there's something I think sort of sacred actually about just witnessing someone going into the presence of the Lord. And I couldn't help but just wondering as we were there, and as we were watching her, and not much response, but there were a number of questions just going through my mind, like, so what is she hearing right now? And what is she seeing? Because in the spiritual sense, there are things that are happening, and what she's seeing in her spiritual eye. And I was with my father-in-law, and I wasn't with my sister when she died, but I was there around some of the times, and I would hear her talk about the beautiful music. She sat up one time and said, "Man, where's that beautiful music coming from?" And there wasn't any music. We were in a hospital, and the only music that was happening were ventilators and machines running. And yet, in the spiritual sense, she was hearing something way beyond what we were seeing and hearing and experiencing in a physical sense. And my mind was just going a lot of different places when we were there. And and then there was a moment when she heard her name, and she went to be with the Lord. And as I was thinking about that, I was thinking about some of the verses that I was planning to read this morning, if the Lord continued to lead me in that. And the title of my message is "To Know and Be Known." And Tim Keller, actually said this. Well, let me say this before I say that quote. Deep down inside of all of us, there is a desire to know and be known. We can live life on the surface. We can live life just on a surface level, and we go through life. But deep down inside of us, there's a desire to know and be known on a deeper level and in a more intimate level. Tim Keller says this: "To be loved but not known is comforting but superficial." How many of us have experienced that? We're loved by someone, and yet we know that they don't really know us. In fact, many times we can live with someone for years, and we can interact with people at a church level, and we love them or they love us, and the truth is they don't really know us. And I want to talk about that a little bit later on, but they don't really know who we are. To be loved and not known is superficial. To be known and not loved is our greatest fear. That's the greatest fear that all of us have. That if we open up our lives to someone, they won't love us anymore. They won't love it. They won't accept us. They won't be there for us. And that's our greatest fear. That's why we build walls with each other as we sit here in church and as we live with people, as we interact with people. We build these walls because we're afraid that if we're known, we won't be loved. But to be fully known and truly loved is, well, a lot like being loved by God. It is what we need more than anything. It liberates us from pretense, humbles us out of self-righteousness, and fortifies us for any difficulty life may throw at us. It's a powerful statement by Tim Keller. It's what we need in life more than anything is to be known and yet still loved. It's truly what our hearts long for, and yet many of us have been deeply hurt by relationships to the point that we build walls and we build fortresses around ourselves that no one can penetrate and no one can get in because we're afraid of the hurt and the pain. Turn your Bibles to John chapter 10 this morning. I want to read, actually, a number of verses coming out of John chapter 10. It starts out in verse 1 and says, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." And really what he's bringing to mind there is just the ancient shepherd. We're not familiar with this, but the ancient sheepfolds where the shepherds would be out during the day in different pastures feeding their sheep, and at night they'd bring them into a central place, and there might be three or four or five different flocks of sheep within this sheepfold. And he goes on and talks about it, and then in verse 3 he talks about it. Somebody was usually designated to be the doorkeeper, or they would be there to protect the sheep during the night, even though there's all kinds of different flocks there. And in the morning, the shepherd would come, and if he's truly a shepherd, he was given access to go in, and he called his sheep. And the sheep would hear, follow him out, and he would take them out to pasture and water. And he's saying in the first verse, if anyone doesn't have access through the door of the sheepfold, he's a thief and a robber. He climbs up some other way trying to get in into the sheep. And so he's just bringing that that picture to the mind as he talks about that. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers or the shepherd of another flock. They don't recognize his voice. They don't understand the calls and the names. And as I was looking at this, it was talking about how most shepherds had name for their sheep. I don't know how many of you grew up on farms, but I grew up when I was young. I was on a farm, and we had names for our cows. And sometimes I didn't know how my dad and brothers knew what cow had what name. I was pretty young at that time, because at that point, some of the cows all looked the same to me. But yet, they knew what their names were. Yeah, he's talking about how the sheep will hear the voice, and they understand. They're not going to know the voice of a stranger because they're not familiar with the voice and the commands that are coming, and it says they won't have anything to do with it. As I was thinking about this, Starla and I were someplace recently, and I love animals and dogs, and we pulled up somewhere, and there was a dog sitting in a vehicle right next to me, and the window was rolled down, and so I hit my window. Starla was in the store, and because I can usually get dogs to respond to me, so I rolled my window down, and I was doing noises and things to get this dog's attention, and the only thing I got out of the dog was this. He looked at me, and then that was it. I tried for the next 5 or 10 minutes to get the dog to look at me, and he wouldn't even look at me. His focus was glued to the door of the store. He was just looking for his master. That's the only thing it was looking for. And I tried my hardest to get his attention, and it wouldn't even look at me. And I have that picture as Jesus is talking about sheep that they won't hear the voice of a stranger. They won't follow the voice of a stranger because they are glued and fastened on their master, and they want to see him. They want to experience him. And we weren't there when the master came out of when that guy, the dog's owner, but I would have loved to see when that owner came out of the store. I would have loved to see the dog's response, because if it was anything like it was doing, It would have been exciting to see because the dog would have been all over the master, but it was totally glued. He wasn't listening to my voice at all. Just one little peek, that's all he gave me. And Jesus is saying, we're a part of his shepherd, his sheepfold, we're going to know his voice. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. What an incredible thing. Jesus being the door of the sheepfold, there's no other way to get in. He's the, well, it talks about two different things that Jesus is in this passage. First of all, he's the door. He's the way to get in and out. There's no one that's going to get in and out of the sheepfold except going through him. He's the protector of the door. He is the door. He's also the protector of the door. There's no way to get in and out except through Jesus Christ. Do you know how comforting that is for us as Christians? There's no one that's going to get to us without going through Jesus Christ. He's the door. He also talks about, let me say this, he also talks later on about being the good shepherd, and I'll talk about that a little bit later on, but Jesus is the door. He's the one that's protecting. He's the one that's guarding. He's the one by which we can have access to the fold. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. What a powerful verse. Jesus has come that we may have life, but not just life. He's here to give us all the fullness that life has to offer. He wants to give us. Then he goes on and says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for his sheep. And, you know, it's easy for us to think, oh, yeah, well, he died for us. We're familiar with that. We know that. So what? The truth is, how many of us in the physical sense would die for a group of sheep that we have? The truth is, the people that Jesus was talking to understood it because many shepherds in that day actually would give their lives for their sheep. And we have stories of David fighting lions and bear and things like that to protect his sheep. And sometimes they didn't win. And sometimes the shepherds lost their lives in protecting and caring for the sheep. What an incredible God that we have that is willing to give his life for the sheep, for us as sheep. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep, but a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is an hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known by my own. I want you to catch that verse. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. Actually, the verses before that he's talking is just referring to the fact that we as Gentiles are going to have an opportunity to be a part of the sheepfold. And then, that was the end of that discussion. About 2 months later, he comes back. In verse 22, this is another discussion he has, and I just want to pull out a couple verses out of that. Verse 27, Jesus again says, about 2 months later, he says this, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, that they may never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. To know and be known. I don't know much about sheep, but I do know something, a little bit about dogs. And when I was young, my brother and I, well, actually, when I was really young, my dad was into coon hunting big time, and so we grew up with that. And then my brother and I, a couple of my brothers and I, we were into coon hunting, and we would hunt coon in the fall. And we would take friends of ours with us, and we would go into the woods and be walking through the woods, and we could tell what was happening where our dog was by the sounds of our dog, and because we knew our dog. And we knew if that dog was chasing a coon, we knew if it was treeing a coon, we knew if it had a coon, it had smelled a coon on the ground and it was going to go after it without chasing it up a tree. We knew exactly what that dog was doing. And so as we were listening to that dog, most times we knew what the dog was doing. I'll tell you some other stories about that. But most time we knew exactly what that dog was doing. And so we would be talking to each other and we would take friends along and we'd say, oh, she has a coon on the ground and in a little bit we're going to hear this and this. We're pretty sure she has a coon on the ground. And they would be sitting there saying, we don't have any idea what you guys are talking about. Like, how do you know that? How do you know what that dog's going to do in the next little bit? Well, the reason we knew that is because we knew our dog. But on the flip side of that, the dog also knew us. There were many times, not many times, but there were times that the dog, we would lose the dog. We'd be in a big woods, the dog would disappear, we wouldn't hear anything. And we would walk for a long time, we'd call, try to get its attention. If we couldn't get its attention, we would take our hunting coat. We had a coat that we always took with us that was a hunting coat, and we would take it to where we parked a vehicle and we'd throw our hunting coat on the ground and then we'd go home and sleep. And the next morning we would go back out there and our dog was laying on our hunting coat. And we'd open the door, the dog would jump in and we'd go home. And then we'd go to work. But the dog knew us. They knew our smell. When they smelled that coat, they knew that that was ours and it was a part of them, and they would lay down and spend the night on that coat. It's knowing and being known as a dog. The two dogs that we had recently, I could tell if they were hungry. Depending on how they barked, I knew if they were hungry. I knew if someone was walking by on the street. I knew if they wanted out to exercise and to play. I knew all that. How do you know that stuff? Because you know the dog and you're able to be familiar with them. What about us in our relationship with the Lord? It's incredible to be known. That's just me knowing the dogs, and in one way that's nothing. But what about us as people? In being known, first of all, by an almighty God. God knows everything that there is about us. There's nothing that He doesn't know about. In fact, He knows more about me than I know about myself. That's how well He knows us. And in the middle of that, He pours out His love on us. We are known by an almighty God. How well do we know Him? How well do we know His voice? How well do we follow Him when life takes bends and turns and twists that we don't know and we really don't understand? Do we know His voice? Do we know Him? When I get lost in life, do I go back and lay on the coat of and that's a crude illustration. But it really is pretty good. Do I go back because I know that this is God and this is Jesus Christ and He has the answers to my life, and I go there because I know Him. It's something that's familiar. even though I'm lost in the world and I'm lost in life. I have no direction. I've lost. The thing is, we weren't lost as humans. The dog was lost. But it could find its way back to something that was familiar and something that was a part of actually, he probably wasn't as lost as we thought he was, but he found his, you know, to something that he knew in a strange environment. What about us? To know and be known. Jesus, actually, Galatians, it says this. Well, before I say that, let me say this. I was thinking about those kind of things as I was watching Eleanor take her last breath. What is it like to go when she was ushered into heaven, into a place where she is fully known and fully loved? What an incredible thing. Known by other people that have gone before, known by her maker, the person that formed her, who knew all of her story from beginning to end, knew the pain, the heartache, the joys, the things that she was excited about, knowing what she had to put up with living with John. I'm just kidding, John. But someone that knew all about her. What is it like to be ushered into the presence when what we most deeply long for is brought to fulfillment before our very eyes? To know God in a greater way. Scripture talks about us seeing through a glass darkly while we're here on this earth. We see through a glass darkly. Someday we'll see face to face, and we will know in ways that we have never been able to experience on this earth. But then beyond that, to be known, there's nothing to hide, nothing to care about anymore. It's all there. We're just known. We'll know each other as Christian people in ways that we never knew each other down here on this earth, because we're ushered into a place where we're known. We will know, and we are known like we've never been before. And then Galatians 4:9 says this: Now that you have known God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements to which you desire again to be in bondage? That's a powerful question. When we do know and we are known, how is it that we go again? And he's referring to our relationship with the Lord at that moment. But why is it when we know and are known that we return to the things that just hold us in bondage in our lives? You know, I do that sometimes. That's a part of my journey and my story. It's a part of your journey and your story. We know and are known. And how can we ever go back from that? And yet sometimes we choose to build castles around us and things around us in a spiritual sense, but the same is true in a relational sense between us as people as well. We know and are known, and yet we choose to go back. I started out by saying deep down inside of us is the desire, it's the desire of our hearts to know and be known. It's the greatest thing for that to be true of our relationship with the Lord. But this morning we're taking in members here, and I want to bring it back a little bit to some practical things for us as we relate to each other in a body of believers, as a body of believers. What about our relationship with each other? You know, that's really what body life is all about, is to know and be known, and in the midst of knowing, to be loved. And the truth is, we haven't done very well with that in our churches because we're human. But to be known and loved, that's our heart's cry for everyone that's sitting here. In the midst of our stuff, And so the question is, how much do I know about the people sitting next to me? It's also true of God. But one level of knowing is I can know your name. I can call out your name when I see you. And for some of us, that's a great thing. You know, one of the things, this is a thing that we've joked about a little bit as a family, but I talk about like some of the people I've met through the years, and I call them my good friend. And it's a joke because the truth is, I'm not their good friend. I just know their names. And, you know, people like Dr. David Jeremiah, I've met him a number of times in person, and we sat next to him in a restaurant and talked to him, and I actually bought his supper. And my head swelled a little bit when he said to me, you know, I remember you, but I don't remember your name. Well, okay, I knew that I had seen him enough times and talked to him enough times that he remembered a little bit who I was. And so, but the truth is, I don't know David Jeremiah from Adam. I mean, I know his name, and I've talked to him once or twice, and I've had my picture taken, actually Doug did too, had his picture taken, we had our picture taken with him. But we're only at the surface level of knowing him. And yet many of us are content with that as we live our lives. Oh yeah, I know Carl. I know, and we go through life saying, I know so and so. The question is, what level do we know people at? So we may know their names. We may know their family, where they came from. I may be able to say, oh yeah, I know your dad, or I know your brothers, or I know, there's a connection there because we've gone a little bit deeper than just knowing our names. We know their family. We know where they're from. For some people, we know part of their story. We know their journey through life. We know the pain that has been a part of who they are. We know parts of it. And so that's a deeper level of knowing someone and being able to experience life with someone in a deeper way. We know their struggles. But the question is, do we know things like what keeps them awake at night? The things that deep down in the core of their soul they're wrestling with in life. Do we know that about them? Do we know them well enough that we know the things that make them come alive? How they wrestle with who they are when no one is around. You know, sometimes when no one's around is when Satan has a way of getting in and planting doubts, and we wrestle with who we are and what God, you know, in the quietness of things, when we have time to think and sort through and process life. How well do I know what Doug's wrestling when what he wrestles with in life, and what Ben does? Do we know those kind of things about each other? Do we know who they are at the core of their hearts? You know, there's been a number of times that I've thought I've known people, and yet I've seen them in a situation different than what I've seen them in, and I've watched a life come alive inside of them, and I watched them in a way, you sit back and you say, I thought I knew them. Well, you did know them to a certain level, but now you know them at a deeper level because you're in tune with and you're aware of what's happening inside of us. The question is, how well do we know God actually on this level? I mean, those same steps apply. They're very simple, very practical. But do we just know God's name? And we say, yeah, I know him. Or do we know him? Same is true with the people that we're sitting with this morning in church. We can go to church together for the last 15 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. The question is, how well do we know? Because at the core of everything that we are wanting and longing for in life is to know someone and be known. That's what life is about. And it's God and people. That's as simple as it comes back to. But there's a couple things. Actually, Starla and I, let me say this. There's a couple of things that need to happen if we want to know and be known. First of all, we need to be safe people. And I'm talking about us now as people. We need to be safe people. People that as we open up and as we share, we're safe with. You know, there have been people in my own life, and I'm just being flat out honest. I'll tell you one story. A number of years ago, I was talking to a guy. We were sitting at breakfast together. This is quite a few years ago, so none of you need to worry about anything. But I was sitting, I went to breakfast and with someone, and it took us about 5 minutes, and we were talking pretty deep things in life, and he was asking me about some things in my life, and he asked me a question that I didn't know if it was safe to tell him. So I said, I'll answer this question, but I don't want anyone to know right now because it would have impacted my job and a number of other things. And so I said, this is very confidential. And the next morning I got a phone call from someone else asking me about this thing. And I knew only one person had said it. I knew I had only told one person. And I said, where did you hear that? And he said, I heard it in cell group last night. And it was shared as a prayer request. And, the truth is I didn't share with that guy very deeply for a long time after that. That's what I'm talking about being safe people. We can't get to know each other and really be known unless we're safe people. It can't happen because we won't share with each other if we're not safe people to be around. The second is we need to be willing to be known. Starla and I have been in a number of relationships through the years where we've desired to know and be known, and we've been very transparent with our lives, down to things that you don't share with just somebody you meet on the street. But that was never reciprocated back to us. And so we're open, and yet when we press into their lives, it came back to us again in our story and where we were at. And after a while, you end up shutting down. You're no longer willing to continue to lay yourself out there without it being a thing that's back and forth. And so if we want to, as a body of believers, if we want to know and be known by each other within the group, we have to be a safe people. And we also have to be willing to be known by other people. It doesn't happen any other way. Albert Einstein said this. Actually, he was given credit for this quote, and actually I question whether he said it, and actually some other people questioned it as well, but he was given credit to this quote. "I fear the day that technology will surpass our human interaction." He goes on to say another thing after that that I won't say. But he's saying, I fear the day that technology will take the place of just human interaction. And, you know, we can blame a lot of things on technology today. And I'm not here to talk about technology. You guys know that. But what I am here to talk about is when things take the place of knowing each other. I don't care what it is. Technology, we can harp on that all day. Technology is not the problem. The problem is just being known. To know, wanting to know and be known by other people. We can hide behind technology. We can hide behind all other kinds of walls and castles that we build. We build around ourselves so that we really don't know and interact with each other. This morning, as we take in new members here, I hope it's a call for us again. My heart's cry for us as a congregation again is that we continue to be a church that knows and is known. And first of all, by God Almighty and the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to know Him. We don't want to know His name. We don't want to know all the miracles that He did back in the New Testament. We don't want to be able to explain theology. We want to be able to hear His voice. The Scripture talks about us hearing His voice and following Him. That's what it means to know the Lord and then to be known, to allow Him to know everything that there is about us. You know, He already does. So why aren't we just open and honest about all the stuff of life? It's just being, knowing and being known by an almighty God, but also knowing and being known by fellow believers. That's my heart's cry, those two things. Because life really isn't worth living. It's superficial when we're loved by people, but we're not known. And I don't want to live a superficial life. I want to live a life where I'm known. I know, and I am known. With that, I also, let me just say this, I know the pain that comes with that. Because as we open our lives up, we open our lives up to experience pain. And yet, that's where life is found. Spiritual life and body life is found in those two things. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for the opportunity that we have. By the way, that phone was right, actually just a timer for me to end. So, God, I thank You for the opportunity that we have to be able to live life on a deeper level, to know and be known by You. And God, there is no greater thing. And Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, as we think about our church here, as we bring in new members and we think about our responsibility that we have as that happens, it's not just about bringing more people and adding more numbers to our list. It's about committing ourselves to knowing and to be known, first of all by You and then in our relationship with each other. Lord, I believe that can only be done through the help of Your Holy Spirit. And so I just pray again that You would pour Your Spirit into this place and into this body. And for the ones that aren't a part of this body, I pray that You would pour Yourselves into them as well. And God, that we could push beyond the things that hold us back, whether it's technology, whether it's whatever it is, the things that hold us back from knowing and being known. Father, we want more than anything for that to happen in our lives in greater ways. And so we ask You for it this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.